Good evening, brethren. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, you'll be in a place that will be ready to read there in just a few moments about Jesus being alongside the Sea of Galilee. That's where we'll begin reading Luke chapter 5. We're excited to hear the announcement of new members, as is the life of any local work. You have some that leave and some that go, and you have life and you have death. But we continue on serving the Lord, and we are thankful to hear of that news. Luke chapter 5. Would you read with me in verses 1 through 11? It says, "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began teaching the people from the boat." Verse 4. "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets.' When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men.' When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." If you look in verse 4, I'm reading from the New American Standard. And the command from Jesus was to put out into the deep. Some of you perhaps are reading from the New King James tonight. And the New King James says, launch out into the deep. Put out into the deep. In other words, go away from the land, go out to the deeper waters, and there I will begin my teaching. What does that have to do with us as New Testament Christians? What does that have to do with us talking about a boat and catching fish? Well, I want to use this event that we read in Luke chapter 5, that was read for us earlier in Matthew chapter 4, to remind us of something I think is a very needed spiritual lesson, and that is this. That we need to continue to work on and get better at giving our full commitment and our full faith to our God and our Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 is a refrain that we all know. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And we all know 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. We can all quote that, can't we? But I wonder how many of us are actually walking by faith, or how many of us are walking by sight. Most of us are likely walking far more by sight than we are from our faith. In other words, what many of us are doing is we're trying to remain in the shallow waters, if you will, of our faith. We don't want to get out into the deep, spiritually speaking. We don't want to venture out into the deep waters. We want to stay where it's nice and where it's safe. And we can feel the bottom of our faith beneath our feet, so to speak. This reminds me when I was younger. I distinctly remember learning how to swim. I distinctly remember having an opportunity a couple of times to go out with my father swimming in his brother's pool in town. And I'd been a couple of times, and everything felt pretty safe, and I was excited. I loved going over to my uncle's house to go swimming. Up until that time where my dad said, "It's time to learn how to swim." And then I didn't think it was so fun. because I wanted to stay in the shallow end with my dad and play and splash. But my dad said, it's time to learn. And so I said, okay, great. I figured he's going to let me stay in the shallow end and swim back and forth. No, not my dad. No, he says, no, you've got to learn to go out into the deep end. And I'm like, ah. He literally pushed me out. I remember this. He pushed me out into the deep end and said, you have to learn. I'll be here on this side waiting for you. I'll say it took a little bit more than just a slight bit of coaxing to get me out to try that, but I eventually did. Why didn't I want to go out into the deep end? Because I couldn't touch the bottom anymore. I had to have some type of faith that when my dad said he's in the shallow end waiting for me, that somehow if I start drowning, he's going to be there fast enough to save me. I think there's a lot to that when it comes to our faith, isn't there? It takes a lot of faith to go out in life and make decisions based on God and not ourselves. It's easy to walk through life half trusting God and half trusting in ourselves. It's not so easy to walk out in the depth and just say, I know God will protect me. I know God will provide for me. I know because God is who He says He is and I believe it, that He will care for me. But brethren, it is time for us to stop quoting 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and it's time for us to start living it. I want to take some applications from Luke chapter 5 tonight, and I want to encourage all of us to launch out, if you will, into the deep of our faith. The first point I have for us tonight is, may I encourage us to launch out into the deep in our daily faith. Now, I only want to begin tonight with these big acts of faith, these life-changing things in life. I just want to talk about you getting up tomorrow morning. Everyday, normal, natural life. The decisions you're going to have to make as you go to work, provide for your family, that you're doing whatever it is in your daily rituals. Just basics of life. Look with me back in Luke chapter 5. I want to again read verses 5 through 7. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come over and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Now you might look at this and say, well, what type of faith does Peter have? I mean, Peter obviously doubts. He says, Master, Jesus, I've literally worked all night trying to catch fish and have nothing. So what type of faith is that? Well, let me tell you what type of faith that is. That's the type of faith that says, I somewhere in my heart kind of doubt you, Lord, but at your will, even though in my human body I doubt you, I'm going to do it anyway. I want to tell you tonight that there's some times that we doubt God will take care of us. That we doubt that we're doing the right thing. That we doubt if we make this decision, everything will fall into place. I want to encourage you to do as Peter did, and even if you doubt, do as Peter did and do it anyway. Especially when it comes for just the normal things of life. I want to encourage you in just provisions for your family to do things that cause spiritual growth in your family. I want to encourage you tonight to launch out into the deep where you can no longer feel the land beneath you. And make decisions that would help your family spiritually. I want to share a story with you. I'm kind of reluctant to do it, but I do it to try to hope, encourage in some way, not in any way really wanting to talk about myself. But here goes. I remember when I wanted to start preaching the gospel. I was in my secular job. I had gone to college. I was working in the computer field. Everything was going great. I was making good money, going up the ladder, so on and so forth. Alicia was working. All things were well. And then I decided that I wanted to be a preacher. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. That was not an easy decision. There was a lot that went into that decision, not just days, but months, almost to a year, until I made the decision to try to prepare myself in a way to become a preacher. And I'm going to be honest and tell you some of the reasons behind that decision were earthly motivated. I was thinking as a new husband that, you know, I've married Allie and she knows what I do for a living and she knows what she's getting. But now I'm going to completely change gears on her. I'm going to completely change which course of life, change how much money I could make, and all the things that come with that. And that was a struggle for me to figure out, can I take that leap of faith? Thankfully, I have a good wife, and she encouraged me, and she supported me, and I was able to begin that journey. We started preaching before we even had a full-time work. I was coming out of a program where I was being trained and being helped along. And then somewhere in that year, we decided it was a good idea to have a child. And Noah was on the way, and I didn't even have a full place to work yet. I was still in my training program. And so I got to tell you, again, I was a little nervous. Am I going to find a place to go? Can I find a place to preach and be helpful? Will there be money? Can I support the new baby on the way? But let me tell you, every single time there was a need financially, it was always met. We had to sell our house from where we were living in Murfreesboro, and that was at when the market had tanked. God took care of it. The house sold. As we were in the hospital with Noah, we found our first place to work. All things were taken care of. We moved there. All things were taken care of. Funny story. We moved. I still had to work a little bit on the side to provide for the family. In the fall, I did a part-time work of working with high school football, being a referee. I remember that I was very excited at the end of a football season for all the money that we had saved up for me being a ref. And we had all these big plans for the money. We had all these fun things we're going to do with the money. And then our car broke down. And I kid you not, within $5, the full amount that I made from reffing was the exact amount that we needed for our car. Now, I'm not saying this for anything special for my family, because I know these things have happened to you too. We all can stand up here and tell our stories. But I say this to encourage you. When you take a step out into the deep, God will take care of us. It doesn't mean we're going to have everything we want, but we'll have what we need. God will provide for us. So I encourage you tonight, if there's something that you could do within your family, whether it's a new job, maybe just within your same job, a new position, maybe another shift, so on and so forth. Is there some decision that you can make that would give you more time to spend with your family? More time that you could come and be at worship service, maybe even be more involved in the church, leading in some certain way? I encourage you to do it. Don't worry about all the finances. Step out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And put first things first. Make sure spiritually that you're sound and that things are going well for your family. I give you a second way that we could launch out into the deep with our faith. That would be letting go of things in your life before you were a Christian. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. I want to encourage you tonight to put away your old man. So many times, people become Christians, And yet there's this attachment to the world for so many different reasons. Whether it's providing for your family, or maybe it's fun and entertainment. Maybe you say to yourself, you know, there's just some things I can't give up. I don't have enough faith in God that He'll provide things for me in a certain way. I won't be able to enjoy life as a Christian now. And so you become a Christian and then hang on to the world at the same time. But remind yourselves of what the Scripture says. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. This is very, very convicting to me. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't be shackled to the world of sin. Don't be shackled to making decisions in life based upon things you used to do or you feel comfortable doing. I want you to turn with me back to John. John chapter 14. Back in your New Testaments to John chapter 14. So many times we seek fulfillment in this world. And we don't really have the type of faith that we ought to have in God. We don't actually trust in the promises that God gives us. Well, here's a promise I want you to be reminded of tonight. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Brethren, launch out into the deep, and instead of holding on to things of your old man and holding on to things of this world, think you need to provide for yourself of entertainment and things that are here on earth. Remember what is before us. Remember that if you will just have faith in God and make life decisions based upon that, there's a home in heaven waiting for us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave. And He has said to me," notice this, here's what Paul hears from God, from the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I'm going to put a list of things on the screen behind me and run through them with you. Launch out into the deep with your faith and make decisions based upon these. Don't worry about providing entertainment and fun on this earth for yourself. Make use of your time by growing in faith, reading through the Scripture, serving one another, serving this church, doing what you can to grow. When it comes to the money and job, we've talked about that. Make decisions based upon God and your faith, not things of this earth. Make decisions based upon your faith when it comes to your priorities. This is one of the biggest ones for all of us. I touched on it this morning. Priorities will tell you everything. I was teaching a teenage class one time, and I asked them to write out a list of things that were most important to them. And I have to say that if I asked you to do that tonight, I know what your answers would be. I think I can say without asking you, God would be at the top of every one of your list of priorities. But let's just say that you wrote a list and God was at the top. And then you had to go out and give that list to your coworkers, people that you work with every day, would they be able to say, yeah, obviously I agree. Obviously God is at the top of that list. Or would they say, I didn't even know he was a Christian. Something to think about. Live your life with the priority that God is at the top. Make relationships based on your faith. For those that are younger, those of you teenagers and those that are going to be getting married one day, I encourage you to make all decisions based upon friendship and possible marriage based upon your faith in God. Because that is most important in life. Your friends, those that you're going to marry. It's so important that you make decisions based upon your faith and not just your wants and your needs. And then lastly, modesty. Let me ask you to launch into the deep, both men and women tonight, and make decisions based upon your faith. That's not the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is to sit back in the shallow end and wear what is normal to everybody. Wear what is popular, what is acceptable, what those around you tell you you should be wearing. But let me remind us that we as Christians are supposed to be different than the world. So I want to ask you to take a step out into the deep and make decisions based on your faith. Don't dress like the way the world wants you to dress. Because if you dress that way, that's not like a Christian. We must be willing to be on an island sometimes in life. To make decisions nobody around us are going to make. Because we're Christians. I could go on and on in a list and you get the point. But I ask you tonight to think about the decisions that you make. And are they based upon you providing for your family? Or is it based upon your faith? Let me give you a second point that I see from reading through this story back in Luke chapter 5. Here in Luke chapter 5, verse 10. It says, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men, or fishers of men, we read through the scriptures. So let me ask us tonight, how are we doing at launching out into the deep of our faith of spreading the gospel? How are we doing at that? Ask yourself that question. But see, if you're in the shallow waters of your faith, here's what you'll say. I would like to share the gospel with somebody, but I would love to tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross, but they might get offended. I don't think they care. I don't know. It might make the relationship awkward. Launch out into the deep, brethren. Don't be fearful of that. Become fishers of men. There's a parallel verse to this in Luke chapter 5. And it's found in John chapter 1. And I like the way that it's worded in John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. When it says, one of the two heard John speak. That's John the Baptist. Who followed him? And that was Andrew, it says, Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew was following John the Baptist. Now he is starting to follow Jesus because he realizes Jesus is the Messiah. And what is the first thing that Andrew does? Does he sit around and say, I found the Messiah. I'm not going to tell anybody. I have found the Messiah. Look at verse 41. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. So he brought him to Jesus in verse 42. He was so excited that he found the Messiah that he first went to his family and said, you've got to come. You've got to see the Messiah. He has come. We must follow him. Come on. Is that what we're doing? Are we going out into the world and giving them what they need? Are we saying to them, I know that you have a cancer of sin in your life and I know what can cure it, Jesus Christ? Or are we looking around at our friends and family and co-workers and saying, you are eaten up with the cancer of sin, but I don't want to tell you anything about how to eradicate that? It takes a faith that launches out into the deep to gather that strength to say those words. Do you know about Jesus? Do you want to study the Bible? That's not easy, I understand. But it's something that we need to be doing. We need to be doing a lot of launching. I am proud of this congregation. I believe, in my opinion, of seeing different congregations, we do better than a lot of inviting people and talking to people about Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we can't do better. We can all do better. And I just want to encourage you to see the facts of life. And the facts of life are that we need to be here as much as we can. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, worshiping and studying. And it's great that we have gospel meetings. But in the grand scheme of things, friend, that's not enough. And we need to know that. In our current day, meetings, in most part, are for us, the brethren, the Christians, to be edified, to be lifted up, to bolster our faith. We really don't live in a time anymore in 2016 like it once was, where just droves of people from the community stop working on their farms and come in to hear a gospel meeting. We have to do our part to launch out and tell people around us. And we're doing a good job, but we can always do better. And I want to encourage us to do better. Get over the fear that sometimes we can have. And go out and tell people what they need to hear, that there is sin in their life, and Jesus can take care of that for you. So again, I ask us the question, how efficient are we? At Northwest Church of Christ, how efficient are we being at launching out into the deep and not being scared to tell somebody about our Lord and Savior? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Don't be scared, brethren. If somebody tells you, no, I don't want to hear about the gospel, no, I don't want to go to church, no, I don't want to study the Bible, that's fine. Keep going. Always know this, brethren, if somebody doesn't want to hear, they're not saying no to you, they're saying no to God. Don't take it personal. Don't let that shut you down. You know that you serve a God that is able to do far more than you can ever think. So don't look at somebody in your life and say, they don't want to hear, or they would not obey. You remember that God can do mighty things. You just do your part to present Jesus. And God and the words of the gospel will do the convicting and the saving, not us. But we have to do our part. We have to launch out. We have to sometimes get over that fear and that doubt, just like Peter. And we have to go out and tell others about Christ. Let me give you a third thing that we can work on to launch into the deep for, and that is working for God. Just simply working, just getting up tomorrow morning and just working for Him. Just doing what we can to serve Him, to better ourselves, learn more, become more Christ-like as we're trying to do this year with our theme. I want to read you a bit of an article. There was this, and this is a few years old now. At the point that this article was written, this gentleman named Michael Nicholson, he was 71, he would be 75 now. This man, 75 years old, he has 29 college degrees. 29 college degrees. Let me read you a little bit about this article. Every June, students all over the country don their caps and gowns for graduation. Whether it is from high school, college, or graduate school, most people could easily count their own graduations on one hand. That would be me. but not 71-year-old Michael Nicholson of Kalamazoo, Michigan. No, Nicholson has earned 29 degrees and is now pursuing his 30th. Probably has his 30th by now, if not more. Said, I just stayed, this is a quote from him, I just stayed in school and took menial jobs to pay for the education and just made a point of getting more degrees, and eventually I retired so that I could go full-time into school. Can you imagine that? He didn't ever want a career. He just had everyday normal menial jobs so that he could just be in school. And then he wanted to retire so he could go into school more. He says, it makes life interesting for me. Otherwise, things would get pretty dull. Says that he has one bachelor's degree, two associate degrees, 22 master degrees, three specialist degrees, and one doctorate. He said, I would like to get 33 or 34. I'm almost there. When I complete that, I feel like I have completed my basic education. After that, if I'm still alive, that would take me to 80 or 81. I would then be free to pursue any type of degree. Listen to a quote from one of his teachers at the university. This professor says, I've had 18,000 students in class, and I have never heard of anybody like this. He's the ultimate lifelong learner. I marvel at his tenacity to go to school. But then there's one final quote that I found from this article. I found pretty interesting for us. This professor that he has a great relationship with says he likes going to school and doesn't want responsibility. This is what Mike lives for. He likes going to school and doesn't want any responsibility. I wonder if that could be said of any of us. Now, on the onset, it looks like I should have great respect for this man. And I do. He's got these degrees. I don't have that. I'm sure he's a very, very intelligent man from all the knowledge he's gained. I'm sure he knows a lot of wonderful knowledge. But you know what, brethren? There's more to life than just gaining education. There is more to being a Christian than just understanding the Bible. Now, that might sound strange coming from the preacher, but you already know my heart. You know that I say all the time, read your Bible, learn, grow in knowledge. But there becomes a point in life, brethren, when knowledge isn't going to do you any good. There comes a time in your life where you need to take the Bible and take all the knowledge that you've gained, and you need to put that Bible on the ground, and you need to go to work. Because all the knowledge in the world isn't going to help if you don't put it into action. This man can have 30, 40 degrees. But if he never has a career, I kind of wonder, what's the purpose? You're not even putting into action the knowledge that you have. And that tells me that learning is not launching. So I encourage you, brethren, to continue to gain knowledge in the Lord. But at some point, put the book down and go out and serve God. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and help your brethren. Go out and do something to serve this church and to serve other people. God asks us to do that. He asks us to work for the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So I want you to ask yourself tonight, what can I do for Northwest Church of Christ? What can you do to be one of these joint that supplies? What value can you add to the brethren sitting beside you tonight? We're about to lose a family that we love very much. But you know what? That's just an opportunity for their family to go and serve somewhere else, and an opportunity for one of us to step up and to serve this congregation. That's how the church works, brethren. The church isn't about us. It's about adding value, using the talents God has given us, and adding value to this church so that we can honor and glorify God and reach the lost. So what can you do? Don't just sit around and say, well, I have a lot of knowledge. Put it into action. What can you do? Can you teach a class? Can you have people over for supper? Can you help somebody? Give a helping hand? Can you prepare yourself, men, to one day become elders? What can you do? God asks us to work for Him and to work for the lost. I'm going to close by going in my Bible to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. It is easy, brethren, for us to stay in our comfort level. It's easy for us to just show up a few times a week and just say we're Christians and just coast through life. But brethren, we need to take that next step of faith. If we truly want to become like Jesus this year, then we need to take that next step and launch out into the deep waters of our faith where we can't touch the ground and where we have to make decisions based upon our love for God. And this is one of the things that we need to be doing. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Tonight, are you one that has not yet been baptized into Christ? I encourage you to launch out into the deep. Put your faith in Christ and be baptized into Him tonight. If you are a child of God, I ask you, are you ready to launch into the deep? Are you ready to make decisions based upon your faith? Are you ready to go out into the world and make disciples by telling them about Jesus who died on a cross and rose again? These are things that we can do, brethren. We just have to put our minds to it, and we have to live by faith instead of by sight. If we can help you in any spiritual way, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.